Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get your day started right. Start your day right. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Early Morning Late Show. We're so glad that you're with us today, and a special hello and welcome to our new friends in Bismarck, the Mandan Central North Dakota area. We're listening on 89.1. So glad you're with us. If you want to get a welcome packet filled with information about Faith Radio, that's got lots of nice, encouraging content for you as well. Visit myfaithradio.com, and you can request your free welcome packet today. I'm starting to sound like Elmer Fudd. Request your free welcome packet. Anyway, so Toys R Us looks like they're headed for bankruptcy, and they have also applied for a legal name change to We Be Broke. That's too bad. That was just usually a happy store to go into. And yesterday was Talk Like a Pirate Day, and I missed it. Anyway. That was for Paul. That little joke was for Paul. I figured he'd like that one. All right, Randy Johnson, I'm going to bring him on in just a minute. He is the founder of God's Pit Crew, and yesterday he was going to try to be on the show with us, but he took an emergency call. He was in either Houston or Florida at the time. Now, whatever city he was not in, he's now in today. So if he was in Houston yesterday, he's in Florida today or vice versa, because he is a man on the move. And he got a nudge years ago that God, do with me what you want. And so he had a vision to do this relief effort, and boy, is it mushroomed into something huge that God has really done some amazing things with. We're going to find out about that and get an update on Hurricane Harvey and Irma as we recover from that, and that those towns are reeling and they need help and they need prayer and they needed donations and they need guys like Randy Johnson. He's on the line. We'll bring him on in just a minute. It's 6 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us. Good morning, 7 minutes after the hour. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night in a warm bed that has a roof over my head that isn't leaking, I kind of go right away in my mind to the many people that I have known that went through a period of homelessness, or maybe they're currently homeless. And I think of the many people right now who are very displaced in the Houston and Florida area. And what are we doing about it? Well, the response has been pretty strong. People have been generous opening up their checkbooks. And we're all looking for ways to help our brothers and sisters who are struggling in these towns. Randy Johnson is one of those guys. He is a founder and president of God's Pit Crew, and they've decided ways to put faith into action, and they are in full-time response in both Florida and Houston, and he's on our studio line this morning. Randy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. So yesterday you were in the middle of another emergency, which is probably all you do, my friend.
Yeah, I think we pretty much live our lives in crisis mode, but that's okay. We're just blessed that God will use us and allow us to help be a part of making a difference in those who are truly affected by crisis.
Okay, tell our listeners about God's Pit Crew, because I went on the website the other night and made a donation because I thought, I like what you're doing, and I believe in it, and so tell our listeners what it is.
Well, God's Pit Crew is a nonprofit, faith-based crisis response team. We have several hundred volunteers and equipment, trucks, trailers, you know, warehouse facilities. And we go in after major natural disasters like tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, earthquakes. And we bring relief supplies, tractor-trailer loads of product to be given to those affected by the storm. We have teams that go in and help gut out homes, patch roofs, anything we can do to help affected, just clean up debris, cut trees. And then we have a rebuilding team that goes back, after the storm and helps families who have no means and no other way of rebuilding on their own to rebuild their lives and rebuild their homes and help to put their lives back on track.
Randy, does your volunteers have wings on their back? Sound like angels.
Well, I think it's just good people that love the Lord and love people and truly want to make a difference. And we have just such a wide variety of volunteers, from folks who are retired down to people who take a week of their vacation every year and go somewhere with us to help us do this. And they're just people who have servants' hearts and want to make a difference in the world. That's just it in a nutshell.
I love it. So, Randy, you're in Houston today. Give us some boots on the ground sort of feel as to what it's like there today.
Well, we just got in here last night because I was in Florida all day Monday assessing there. We've delivered now 57 semi-loads of product between Florida and Texas to those affected. So we were in Florida all day Monday just assessing the damage, looking at what we can do to help rebuild. And we're back here in Houston today doing much of the same, but we have scheduled meetings with numbers of families that we know were affected, who lost everything they had and have no means to rebuild. So we'll be interviewing families today to possibly choose those families to help rebuild their homes, get them new furniture, and get them back in their homes. But I'm going to tell you, it's just heartbreaking. When you have more than 20,000 homes in one county alone, and there's several counties here, but in one county alone, who had 2, 3, 4, 5 foot of water in their homes, and everything they've ever worked for is gone. Man, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And people who just have nothing and no way to rebuild. Coming in last night at the airport, I talked to the lady at the rental car counter, and you know, I said, "Were you affected?" And she said, "Yeah, I was. I had over 3 foot of water in my house." And it's heartbreaking. And there's thousands upon thousands of families here who are affected in a major way and still are reeling from what happened.
Randy, you know, I live in Minnesota, so we'll occasionally have a thunderstorm that might knock out the power for 3 or 4 hours, and you're sitting there in your home with a candle on going, when is this ever going to improve? You know, and yet I'm still in my home, and I'm just, you know, I've still got a dry place to live, and I'm not in 3 feet of water. What is it like having conversations with people that have really just lost everything? You know, we get short clips of interviews on TV, but you're face-to-face with these people, hearing their hearts. What kind of things are they saying?
I was with a lady on Monday that, and I hope I can talk about this without breaking down. But
you go ahead and break down if you have
to. we were with a lady on Monday, 78, 79 years old, I believe. She was in a mobile home, in a nice mobile home park, kind of a lower end retirement community, if you will. She was sitting in the middle of her mobile home with no roof on it. A couple of the walls collapsed, trees and debris down all around her. Hot, humid, no power, no AC, nothing. And we go in and like, you know, ma'am, why are you here? She says, all I have. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any family. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't know what else I can do. I live on a fixed income. I pay my lot rent. I buy my food and my medicine. And that's it. That's all I can do. And just the absolute sheer hopelessness of that is just overwhelming to me. It's... And I've been doing this for 18 years. I see folks like this every year, year after year, but it never gets any easier when you find people like that. We were with a pastor in Chokoloskee, Florida, Monday. Three buildings on their compound, the main sanctuary, the children's building, and a small fellowship hall. The children's building had 8 feet of water in it. Mud, several inches thick in it. And just to see this pastor weep and cry, because that's the only church on that little small island, and it was such a lighthouse, and it will be again. I know it will, but that sheer hopelessness. But then to see them when somebody comes in who just puts their arm around them and says, "Hey, we care about you. We're here to help, and we're going to do something about this. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to do something about this. We're going to help fix this." And to see that hope rise up in people, it's priceless. Mm. It's just good stuff. I don't know. That sounds such a pathetic statement, but
it doesn't at all, Randy. It doesn't at all.
It's just good stuff.
Yeah, Randy. Let me take a little break. These stories are very powerful. I want to return to them when we come back. Talking to Randy Johnson from God's Pit Crew at 16 minutes after the hour. We'll take a very short break and be back. Good morning. I'm speaking to Randy Johnson from God's Pit Crew. And Randy, the story you told of the elderly lady in her mobile home with no roof and two sides of the mobile home down, that image, that's going to be stuck with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to shake. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And just to remember that's one of thousands.
Right. I'm just trying to, on a micro level, how can we respond to this woman? Maybe what were some of the methods or some of the suggestions or the ways in which you helped her? I know you offer blessing buckets, but is there also something else a direction you could point her or a place for her to go? Or?
Well, we're actually in the process right now of, a person on the ground in Florida who lives in Florida that is a part of our ministry. And it's a lady. And right now she's doing with this lady some serious background checks and trying to find out more about her and to help her. And our intention is, with the help of folks out there, to provide this woman with a brand new home.
Wow.
And so it's not been completely finalized, mm-hmm. but that's where we're headed in the direction we're looking to go. And we just want this lady who's sitting there all alone to know that there are people out there who care about her and that God loves her. And so that's the direction we're headed. We've already made commitments to rebuild a home here in Houston. For a pastor who has been pastoring for over 30 years now, that's paralyzed from the waist down. We've already committed to rebuilding a church in Florida, and we're working toward trying to provide this lady with a new home. And so we're going to do what we can to help her. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Randy, talk a little bit about the blessing bucket, something that's immediate and right away you get something in people's hands that give them a little bit of comfort and a little bit of necessities.
Well, we've delivered over 10,000 of these so far between Florida and Texas. But a blessing bucket is a 5-gallon bucket that's filled and packed very intentionally, that's filled with a variety of personal hygiene supplies, soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, comb, brush. It has a bath towel, a washcloth, paper towels, toilet paper, has a couple of cans of food in it, a few bottles of water in it, a flashlight with batteries, some Band-Aids, some wipes, sanitizing wipes for your hands. Most importantly, it has a Bible in it, and that's the first thing people see when they open that bucket up. So these are essentials to help people who've been displaced from their homes, who find themselves either living in a shelter or even if they're living with family, when they've lost absolutely everything they had, and they don't even have a toothbrush. So those buckets just mean the world to people and help sustain them, and we've heard such tremendous stories about those. I heard Pastor Mark from the Journey Church here in Houston say that he had a family that had just lost a six-year-old daughter to cancer just before the hurricane hit, and then their home flooded, and they lost everything and were so down and so out. And he was able to give them one of these blessing buckets. And he said when they opened that up, it seemed like they exhaled for the first time. That up to that point, it was like, I can't breathe. I'm suffocating from all the things that are going on and all that I'm having to deal with right now. But when they opened that lid and saw that Bible and those supplies, it was like they exhaled for the first time. So those buckets are hope. And Pastor Jeremy Foster with Hope City Church here in Houston said, hey, for those of you people who can't physically be in Houston, but you have helped God's Pit Crew, you need to know you are here in the form of a bucket. And so just some powerful testimonies of what a difference those things have made.
And when you start to see any glimmer of hope, or when people are cared for and they feel loved in the midst of that devastation, it has to feel like such a powerful rescue for these people, just to feel that somebody shows up and somebody cares and somebody brings a bucket of necessities that we need. Like right now, I can open a bottle of fresh drinking water and get something to drink and get some of the necessities that are all strewn out all over the street from the storm.
Absolutely. It's a powerful, powerful tool. It seems so simple. I mean, you know, folks listen to that and they think, well, yeah, it's a plastic bucket. It's got a toothbrush and that's nothing. It's worth its weight in gold to those who have lost everything. It is just a powerful piece of hope for people and just so vitally important. And, of course, that's not the only thing we deliver. We bring bottled water and diapers and wipes and pet food mm-hmm. and paper products and other stuff. But Pastor Jeremy with Hope City, he said, too, when you have and we're very careful with those buckets. We do pack them very intentionally, very neatly, so that when people open them, they know that somebody took time to do that for them. They didn't just throw a bunch of stuff in a bucket and pop a lid on it. It's very intentionally packed and packed in such a way that people, when they open it, they know somebody, first of all, provided the funds, the resources to get the products, but secondly, that somebody really took the time to pack that bucket with love and care for those that were going to receive it.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out more about God's Pit Crew, go to godspitcrew.org. You can see Randy's website there, and you can learn about what's going on and where he is and what they're doing. And also, if you're so moved, you can give a donation to that as well. Randy, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's just a joy to be able to share. So
thank you. And
so
God
much.
Bless your efforts today. I admire your courage and what God has called you to do, and you're doing it boldly. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Yep. It is 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a little break and come back. We still have lots more coming up, including David Wheaton. How cool is that? Good morning. It's half past the hour. We're going to talk to David Wheaton in just a little bit. We're going to talk about God's grace. He just came off his big Christian Worldview weekend where he had his big day on Saturday. We're going to hear about that and all that was said and learned, and we're going to try to cover that. But for now, news. We'll be back in a minute.
Sunny day, good day, sunshine.
Good and morning. 25 minutes until the top of the hour. If you're struggling with your career situation, David Stark has this hopeful reminder for you today.
God hasn't forgotten about it. Because that's what it feels like. It feels like you've been put on the shelf. God doesn't, you know, he's managing the universe, but somehow he's not thought about me. And what I want to say to you is that God is with you in this. And remember that we have a God that gets us through the storms, not necessarily a God that protects us from them all. And in those times, sometimes the deepest sort of bedrock things that happen in our faith are when God begins step by step to take us to a new place. And so I want you to be around people who can help you stay at least motivated while you're going through this time. Because that's the whole point of the body of Christ, is that I may be in a good time when I can lift up somebody who's not. I've been in a men's group for a lot of years. We've gone through the whole thing. But at times, I've needed their help. At times, they've needed my help. So I would very much recommend that.
And that was David Stark, author and founder of Business Keys. David is can be reached by going to myfaithradio.com. Type in David Stark, S-T-A-R-K, and you'll get to that interview in its entirety. And it was on this day in 1973, singer-songwriter Jim Croce went down in a plane crash in Louisiana. He was on his way to a concert in Sherman, Texas. He was only 30 years old.
Operator, oh, could you help me place this call? See, the number on the matchbook is old and faded.
Mom, Dad, when was the last time you and your child went out and did something fun? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. What teens want more than anything else is a relationship. And one of the best ways I know to build relationship is through sharing experiences. So my challenge for you this week is to do this. Go do something fun with your teen. Try cycling or horseback riding, skateboarding or paintballing, cooking, baking, sculpting or hiking, scuba diving, snorkeling, jet skiing, or whitewater rafting. Make up your own list, but you get the point. Do something fun. Before you know it, your little boy will be all grown up and on his own. So don't wait any longer. Start building the relationship today.
Learn how to handle the top four fears parents face during the school year. Go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes till the top of the hour. That music always makes me happy for many reasons. One, I love tennis. Two, I love David Wheaton, and he is on our studio line this morning, coming to us via Skype, fresh off his big weekend. TheChristianWorldview.org is his website. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. Are you rested from the weekend?
I'm exhilarated.
Good.
And exhausted.
Do tell me. What happened?
Well, we had our conference, the Christian Worldview Conference, on Friday night and Saturday morning over at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, and we had just wonderful people turn out for the conference, but even more important than that, the teaching at the conference, both on the Reformation — this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation — by Troy Dobbs, and Justification, was one of the best messages. Now, it's hard to be objective on this because it was our conference, but I sat there, and usually at a conference, when you're the host, it's sort of hard to focus and be intent on what's being said because you're thinking about what's coming next. But the message was so powerful. I just never heard a message on justification by faith and why it's so important for Christians to understand this, and non-Christians, by the way, as well, because something is in the heart of man that we want to contribute to our salvation. There's just something in us that God says that, look, I've done everything for you to save you through my son's sacrifice on the cross. He was perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But somehow we like to say, well, it's not quite enough. I just have to contribute a little bit here through my baptism or through these good deeds here or giving to charity here. I'm going to contribute to my justification. And really, it's not just kind of laughable to God. It's really offensive to him. But I'm not articulating exactly the way Pastor Troy Dobbs preached it in his message, but it was such a good message that it was very impactful and lasting. And then secondly, the other topic we talked about was, well, in the Reformation, was the authority of Scripture and why that is so important today as well. That's really, if you want to explain why things are the way they are today in our culture and our society, and even in the church to a certain extent, it's because our society has gotten away from seeing God and Scripture as the authority. Man is the authority now. What we decide, what we feel, what we think is right is the authority in our society today. And so that's why you see the dissension, the division. You see the decisions being made by the Supreme Court. You see public education the way it is, politics, the media and so forth, our entertainment. It's all really fundamentally, if you just break it all down, it's all a rejection of God and His Word. So those two topics were really key. And then I can tell you about the other topic on world events in Islam, but I want to go on to a long run-on sentence. Sorry.
No, that's not – don't be sorry at all. I love it. I'm just sitting here jotting down some notes. I love talking about God's grace, God's saving grace and salvation, His sustaining grace. I the more you want to talk about, the happier I am.
Okay. Well, before I talk about God's grace, because that is such an important topic to understand as well, is that we'd also – Soren Kern, who is a really renowned geopolitical analyst, someone who analyzes world events and the trends that are happening across the world. And he has a very interesting background. He was our other keynote speaker. And he is an American citizen, but also has dual citizenship in Germany. And he grew up in Wisconsin, of all places, for 17 years. His parents were German immigrants, a Lutheran pastor. And then he went into the U.S. Air Force in Germany for many years. And then going to Georgetown University after that, he met the Prince of Spain at Georgetown, who now is the King of Spain. And through that relationship, Soren became the geopolitical analyst for the Prime Minister of Spain, then went to Hebrew University in Israel, has traveled over 100 countries around the world. So this man has an incredible working understanding of things that are going on around the world. And he talked about some of the major forces in the world right now that are changing things in our world. I think there's one concept that stuck out to me. He said, the reason there's so much upheaval in the world is that there's been a diminishing to some extent of American strength in the world. He said a unipolar world where there's kind of one major strength is much more stable than what it is now, where it's a multipolar world where you have not only America, but you have Russia, you have China, and then you have other emerging actors like North Korea and Iran. In other places around the world, this and Turkey, this makes the world much more unstable because there's multiple threats going on at all times. So he talked about that. He's a very strong, committed believer. He understands God's sovereign. But the things he said were very, very sobering about that and also about Islam as well with regard to the immigration into Europe.
What did he say about that?
Well, he just said that, you know, Islam, maybe not every Muslim that lives next door to you, but the core of Islam, those who take the Quran literally, have an evangelistic motivation, although it's not like Christianity is evangelistic, where we try to persuade people. It's by any means necessary to have world domination, whether it's through immigration, whether it's through population growth, or whether it's through terrorism and violence. They have a very strong belief that Islam is the only incorrect way and Allah needs to rule the world. And so he talked about, again, not every Muslim has this, but enough with the weapons do that it creates a very dangerous situation in the world and needs to be confronted and pushed back upon. And he spent a lot of time in Europe. He's lived in, I think, Europe for probably over half his life or about half his life. And he just talked about the huge changes in Europe that are taking place because of all the chaos in the Middle East, the immigration, refugees coming out there, Western civilization welcoming them into the Middle East, and what major structural changes that's causing in Western European society right now, and to a lesser extent, the United States as well.
David, it sounds like you learned a lot.
I did learn a lot, and it was an amazing conference. And let me just promote one thing, because I think it's important information that we're going to have DVDs of all four messages at the conference. And you can just come to our website. They'll be ready in about a couple weeks.
Okay.
I really encourage listeners to get the DVDs because you will be informed through watching these sessions. And you just go to thechristianworldview.org to order the DVDs.
All right, David, let me take a little break. When I come back, I want to talk about a really good example of grace. And you talk about it in your recent book, My Boy Ben, A Story of Love, Loss, and Grace. I'd like to cover that when we return. 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I'll be back in a minute with David Wheaton. Twelve minutes until the top of the hour, speaking to David Wheaton from the Christian Worldview. David, well, you're talking about grace and the many facets of God's grace. I think one of the greatest examples that you can share personally is from your book, your recent book, My Boy Ben, A Story of Love, Loss, and Grace. And grace certainly was a part of that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting and sometimes amazing how God teaches us certain things about himself through most unusual means. And I understood, I think, a facet of God's grace when I became a follower of Christ back when I was in my mid-20s. I understood that I was a sinner and that God has given his gift of grace, his son, to die for my sin, something I couldn't earn and didn't deserve, and that repenting of my sin and putting my faith in his work, not my own, God said that made me right with him put me on a path to eternal life instead of eternal damnation. That was just a huge, biggest gift of grace ever in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, it says in Scripture, not of yourself. So that was an understanding of grace back when I was younger. But then as I was on the tennis tour and late in that time and after I came off the tour, and oddly enough, I had a yellow Labrador. And I just loved this dog. I was single at the time. His name was Ben. We were incredibly close. And then out of nowhere, in the middle of his life when he was 8 years old, he got a cancer diagnosis and died 7 weeks later. I was just totally crushed. But it was during that time and that time of loss and grief that I went through that all of a sudden I began to understand so much more about God's grace. You know, we all use that word. You played it in your bumper music coming back in. You know, your love, your grace is amazing and so forth. And what actually is it? How do you put your finger on what actually God's grace is? I mean, it's mentioned all over Scripture. You know, we sing about it. Churches use it in their name. We say it before eating. People who are calm and dignified under pressure are said to have it. Gifted athletes and ballerinas, they say they display it. And parents name their children and their dogs after it. But, you know, what exactly is grace? And it was used to describe Jesus Christ. He's full of grace in truth. I think to define grace very simply is grace is a gift from God. In fact, it's actually it's the many varied and priceless gifts that God gives us, gifts that we don't possess but we desperately need, gifts that we don't deserve and cannot earn. There's the unmerited favor, a common definition of grace, or gifts and blessings that benefit us immeasurably. And when received and used the way God intends them to, they bring glory to God. So I think that's what grace is. It's these powerful, supernatural gifts from God that we don't deserve and cannot earn, that we desperately need to be able to be right with God and to be able to sustain us in the most difficult aspect of life. I mean, we need God's grace, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. David, just talking about grace makes me think of the many people that feel they have to sort of appease God in some way or earn his favor or try to get on his good side. They just don't understand the power of grace and that all that God has done for us was through the cross and what Jesus did. And we need to understand what he has done for us and not try to figure out what we are going to try to do for him.
Yeah, actually that gets us on God's bad side. When we try to amass our own works and consider God that he's going to kind of grade us on a curve or it's kind of like a scale, my good works are outweigh my bad works. That's such a common human way to think of things because that's how, you know, it kind of works down here in some ways. You know, we get on someone's good side, so to speak, right? But good. But that's not the way it works with God. God already knows we're bad. We're sinners. We're corrupt. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none good, not even one. So, you know, it's like trying to walk before the judge when you've committed a murder and he's about to sentence you and say, but judge, I've done all these great things in life. I've helped children and I've given to charity and I've gone on mission trips and so forth. I mean, doesn't this count for anything? And a just judge says, absolutely not. You murdered someone. You're going. It's nice you've done that, but you're going to prison for the rest of your life. Now, heavenly justice doesn't work exactly the way, but there is a comparison. We can't come before God and say, oh, I've been a really good person. He doesn't care about that. We still have so much sin that needs to be taken care of. And the only way, the only provision that God has provided to take care of all that sin is sending his perfect son down here to pay God's required penalty and punishment for that sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, it satisfied both God's wrath over our sin, but also perfectly satisfied his justice. So he's perfectly satisfied that justice has been served. And so he can forgive us, reconcile us to himself, and offer us eternal life completely justly. And that's through his grace, giving us something we cannot earn, a priceless value that we cannot earn and do not deserve. And so just simply receive by faith God's grace, and don't trust in one little single work of your life. Don't try to add it to it because it's offensive to God.
Apples of gold in settings of silver, Mr. Wheaton, that was beautifully said. But in our brain is that whole idea of reciprocity. You know, so we always think, well, like if we went to lunch and you treated, I would always say, well, David, next time we go to lunch, you can buy again. Wait, no, I would say next time I'll treat, something like that. So we do have this give and take and reciprocity. And if God's going to be doing this for me, then I need to do this for him. And we will stay fundamentally clueless about grace unless we understand what the Bible, what Scripture teaches about grace and how we receive it and how there's nothing we can do to earn it.
That's exactly right. And I wish I could refer to the verse that talks about if it is of works, it is no longer of grace. I think it's Romans 11:6, where it says, and if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. And if it were, grace would no longer be grace. In other words, when we bring works into the equation of God offering the grace of his son, we've ruined grace. We've ruined the whole thing. Faith plus grace plus works ruins everything, basically.
Right. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace.
Right. Exactly.
It's awesome. David, I love to hear you all pumped up, which is how you always are, by the way. Because this is your passion, and it shows. Our listeners absolutely love you, and this conference you just had, I know we'll want to go on and get the DVDs if you missed it, because it sounds like they were very powerful. So thank you so much. We'll go to thechristianworldview.org, and that's where we'll go to get information about the DVDs, and I'll get to talk to you again next week, which makes me happy.
Sounds great, Bill.
Blessings to you and your family.
You too, Bill.
Thanks. All right, 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and be back.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, was blind, but now I see.
Thanks for being with us this morning. We're so glad you joined us. We had really a great show. If you want to hear any of the episodes, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and go to the Early Morning Late Show, and you can find them podcasted there probably very soon. And if you are new to the Faith Radio listening family, especially our friends in Bismarck at 89.1, you might want to get some information about it. Go to myfaithradio.com. You can also go there and request your free welcome packet today. And if you have a smartphone, you can download the Faith Radio app. If you have a pager, get a smartphone. Nobody calls pagers anymore. You can download the app on your smartphone in Google Play or in the Apple Store. And when it opens up, it starts live streaming right away. And you can get access to your shows and all the articles and content you might have missed. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.
It's the Early Morning Late Show.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.